So this morning, we'll just carry on with what we shared last week about the ministry taking the gifts and activating them and manifesting the power of God for His glory and the benefit of the church and the people that are not in church. Hallelujah. So I thought this morning we'll look at, we said that often the prophetic, the prophet will have the manifestation of the revelation gifts on a very, very regular basis to authenticate them being a prophet. The other hand, the evangelist most often will carry the power gifts of faith, healing, and the working of miracles. Many times pastors do the same, and teachers do the same, and apostles, that's a very, very, on a very, very shallow sense. The apostle governs, the prophet guides, the evangelist gathers, the pastor guards, and the teacher grounds. Did you get that? They all start with G. The apostle is like the thumb. He governs. He sets the governments of the church. And the prophet is like that finger, pointing. How guides the church. That finger is the longest. It's like the ministry of the evangelist. It goes beyond. It's like a paratrooper that you parachute them down behind the enemy lines. This, where the wedding ring goes, is the shepherd. He guards the flock. The little finger is the teacher. He digs out stuff that others miss, all right? And he gets into little... Hello? So you got the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. This one grounds. This one guides. This one gathers. This one guards. And this one grounds. You got that? So that will help you. And they all can take the gifts. But primarily for the prophet, he has the manifestation of the revelation gifts of a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits to authenticate them standing in the office of a prophet. Now, you can have one or two of those gifts manifest in your life. It doesn't make you a prophet because God can use anybody at any time. But if you're going to stand in that office, that's what you need to authenticate that. The miracles and the power gifts often is carried by the evangelist. That doesn't mean that it's his. They're just there for the responsibility of his office. But anybody can get that, but you don't carry that permanently because it's still under the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. And you may, as a housewife, perform a miracle. You may, as a plumber, heal somebody, but it doesn't happen on a consistent basis. Now, just because you can heal the sick, that does not mean you don't get sick. All right? You can actually pray for the sick as an evangelist, and you're still sick yourself. Why? Because everybody has to believe God by faith for their own healing. And the evangelist anointing is not for himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach and to minister and to heal. Not for my healing. So when they say to the healer, heal yourself, every healer has to heal themselves. What does that mean? That means you have to believe God for your own healing, because your anointing heals others, but you're not, your anointing don't heal you. Are you okay? So, how many people here knew of Weston Carrier? Right, he prayed for the deaf, and he's as deaf as a post. And then when he prays for the deaf, the deaf get healed. Are you okay? So an evangelist may be limping, and he prays for limping people, and the limping people get healed, but he still limps. And a lot of people say, well, everybody has to believe God for themselves to be healed. But if somebody has carries those gifts and you're sick, he can pray for you. You get healed. I know a man very, very closely. He prays for women to get pregnant and have babies. And his wife's never had a baby. Are you okay? Just to get out, you know, because sometimes we get so spiritually, you know, that we forget our. Are you okay? So this morning, I want to share on the. It doesn't mean that the other ministry didn't. I'm just sharing something. Okay, it's not the all these ministry, these five offices can carry gifts. The apostle, for example, don't ever think the apostle is not powerful. The apostle can touch all five men, right? The guy sends out his handkerchief and casts out demons. He's an apostle. So, all right? So, all of four gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teacher, are specialists. You know, you go to the hospital and you got a doctor, and then the doctor will refer you to a specialist. All right. The pastor, the shepherd, is a general practitioner. He's a bit of everything. All right. The others are specialists. They function in their particular giftings. The pastor is a general practitioner. Are you okay? Is that helpful? All right, good. Now, quite often when the pastor leaves his turf, and this is for those of you who minister publicly, when he leaves his turf, he comes under another anointing. So he carries that anointing, a pastoral anointing, with this new thing, because the Bible says there is an anointing to send. All right? The sent one. So when you send a pastor away, there is a new mantle that comes upon him that will add to his pastoral anointing. Are you all right? Say amen. But I think we'll leave it there. But we'll get back to, if you have a look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is talking about the ministry of the evangelist. And it's the only time, and it's, you know, I mean, that's it, you know. It's talking about the example of this evangelist man, whose name was Philip. And he went down to Samaria. And when he went down to Samaria, he demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit of power. All right? That's the only example of a New Testament evangelist in the New Testament. All right? There are others, but this will help you know and how to define the ministry of an evangelist. But when this minister went down, he carried power. All right? He carried the power gifts. All right? Remember what we said? The gifts of the Father are... The gifts of the Father are... Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The gifts of Jesus are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The gifts of the Spirit are word of wisdom, word of knowledge. You know, all right, you get that? All right. So here is a minister, a ministry, an office of the church, going to do what he's called to do and taking the equipment that he needs for his office. Are you okay? So here Philip goes down to Samaria and preach Christ. And it was so powerful, the whole city was stirred. Demons came out, people get healed, crippled began to walk. And just this evangelist guy turned up. Now, Philip did not start as an evangelist. Philip started as a deacon. So there are many people who want to be evangelists, but have never been a deacon. What does that mean? God will never primarily give you a speaking gift or an anointing until he tests you in a physical serving thing. If you don't serve, don't try and preach. It's back to front. If you think you've got a prophetic gift, don't do it until you take some chairs out and wash some toilets. You can't start preaching until you learn to serve. So here's a guy who was chosen as one of the seven deacons in the book of Acts chapter 6. And he started off as a deacon just serving. Now, it doesn't also mean that you have to be a deacon to be an evangelist. Sometimes you can be a deacon forever. But you just need to learn to love Jesus with the things that you're doing. And many times I meet young people, and primarily young people, all right, not young youth, but people that want to get into ministry. Oh, God has called me to be an apostle. I said, so what are you doing? I'm waiting. I said, you'll never be one. Why? Because God looks at how you do things that are small and menial, all right, before he anoints you to declare the message of the gospel in a public setting. Don't try and preach until you first of all wash the dishes. Are you all right? Now, the guy was so powerful in Samaria that there, Simon the sorcerer, who also performed demonic miracles, but he came to have a look and said, wow, this is amazing. And Simon became a believer. Are you okay? Is that all right? But then something crazy here. In verse 14, are you in Acts chapter 8? Yes. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here, let's go back to what we shared before. Some months back, you can actually get saved and not receive the Holy Ghost. Now, let me qualify that, because otherwise I'll get shot by some of you. You never get saved without the Holy Ghost. But that does not mean that you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, it's one thing to take a drink, put it in there. It's another thing to have a bath. You can take a drink, Holy Spirit in you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be in you and with you. So you can have the Holy Spirit inside. That's a nice drink, But when you dive into the pool, see, you can have the Holy Spirit. You can have a water inside, but surrounded by you. Or you can be surrounded by water. You either surround the water, or the water surrounds you. So it's either ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So it's the same thing when Paul came to Ephesus and he asked disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We don't even know there's such a thing as a Holy Ghost. Did they believe? So what did Paul mean? You all right? So here are people in Samaria, delivered, healed, saved, but Peter and John went down because they hadn't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Are you okay? So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you become surrounded by the Spirit. So the heavens are open and the deeps are open. What did God do in the time of Noah? He opened the windows of heaven and he broke the seals of the deep. So the deep came up and, all right? Are you okay? Out of your bellies, then begin to flow with living waters. Are you okay? So they came down and they laid hands on them. And they began to speak. Well, the Bible did not say in this particular instance that they spoke in tongues. But it says, let's have a look. Where is it? Who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in water. Only been baptized in the name of Jesus. He had not fallen. Fallen. All right? Are you okay? Why do people fall down under the power? Because sometimes when the anointing comes, it falls on you. Now, do you always fall or do you always lay down and be filled with the Spirit? Well, you'll never be used to anything. You can't walk down the road falling down. Are you all right? So clearly, you can see that you can get saved and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think they were spoke in tongues. He said, Pastor, you don't add things to the scriptures. I said, I know. I'm your shepherd. But why do I say that? Because the same man that saw the miracles, the sorcerer that saw the miracles, saw this. And he said, can I buy that power that whoever I lay hands on receive? So there must have been a manifestation that caused him to say that, because he's already seen the manifestation of the power. But this was different. So he said, can I buy that? And Peter rebuked him, because even though he was saved, his heart was not right. Have you ever noticed that just because you're saved does not mean that your heart is altogether okay? So he must have seen something that was separate from the miraculous. It was still a miracle, but it was separate from the healing and the cripples and everybody and people getting delivered. It was separate from that he says, wow, can I have that power too? That whoever I lay hands on will receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you okay? The Bible says Paul encountered Jesus on the way to Damascus. And he encountered a light brighter than the noonday sun. The Bible says when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anybody. And he became blind. And God spoke to a disciple who was not a prophet, neither was an apostle, neither was an evangelist, neither was a teacher or a pastor. He was just a disciple of Jesus Christ. His name was Ananias. So he was a layman. But when he spoke to Ananias, he said, "Arise, go down to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of a man named Judas. Inside the house is a man named Saul, who's right now praying. And he's seeing in a vision you, Ananias, coming along to lay hands on him that he might be healed and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So here is a layman, a normal congregational parishioner. For in our context, not a prophet, not a pastor, not an evangelist, not an apostle, not a teacher, just a normal, everyday guy, and had revelation. He said, "Go down to the street." This is what the Holy Spirit said. "Go to the street called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for a man named Saul." Man, that's revelation knowledge. And the guy's not a minister. All right? I'm getting somewhere, so don't lose me. And when he got there, he laid hands on Saul. And you remember he had a talk with the Holy Ghost, and he said, "Lord, this man is wicked. And I heard stories about this guy." And the Lord said, no, it's all right. He's okay, he's saved. And tell him he's going to suffer much for my sake. So he went there, laid hands on the guy. The guy's blinded was healed. All right? Miracle. Working of miracles. He had a word of knowledge. The guy's praying right now. You tell him that he had a vision. And he sees you coming to lay hands on him. So he got there. And all this... And then tell him he's going to suffer. So he got a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What's happening, what's going to happen, and the working of miracles. Layman. Just a layman. But so you can believe God. Hallelujah. How do you get the gifts? Desire the best gifts. For what? For what's happening right now. If the guy needs healing, don't ask for a prophecy. What good would you do with prophesying of a guy that needs healing? So he got a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, giving him the plans and the purpose of God for his life and working of miracles. And he's just a layman that goes to Faith City Church. But he heard from God. All right. So I want to ask a question. Because it doesn't say that Paul spoke in tongues. You think he did? I think he did. All right? Got filled with the Spirit, because that's what he went there for. And why did I say that? Because the very same man came to Ephesus, and he asked, and then he laid hands. How did he know that laying hands will cause them to fill with the Spirit? I think it came from his experience with Ananias. And then the same man said, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than the whole church." And then the same man said, "I wish you all spoke in tongues." Is that fair? Yes. Hallelujah. So let's get back to this evangelist guy, whose name is Philip Groves. I haven't seen that evangelist here for a little while. So have a look at Acts 21. And I've got 6 minutes. I think we got enough minutes. Acts 21. And verse 8. So here is Paul and his team. Hallelujah. Coming down to stay at this man's house. But let's... Are you all right? Why don't we read from verse 1 to give you a context? Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went abroad and set sail. And when we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to be unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. So there must have been a manifestation of the, all right? But it was still up to Paul, all right? When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to... how do you say that? All right. And greeted the brethren and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the 7 deacons, and stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied, and we stayed many days, and certain prophet named Agabus. Now I want you to see something. Now we have in the house of Philip 3 different officers or ministers. All right, Paul the apostle, a prophet named Agabus in the house of the evangelist named Philip. And Philip had 4 daughters who prophesied, but they were not prophetesses. They would just use the gift of prophecy. So here Agabus, who is a prophet, now turns up and took the girdle or the belt and tied himself up, and he said, Saul will choose in Jerusalem due to the man that owns this belt. Hello? That means you can be used in prophecy and not necessarily hold an office. Are you okay? So you've got Philip, who was a deacon, became an evangelist. Paul, who was belonged to the... he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a zealot, who became an apostle. And here is a prophet named Agabus, who performed this prophetic act. And he said, the Jews in Jerusalem are going to tie this man up and hand him over to the Gentiles. Now notice they said, Paul, don't go. Paul said, stop doing that. I'm going. Why? Because the prophetic word was not to stop him. The prophetic word was to, he still had to make a, now if he made a decision not to go, that was up to Paul. Are you okay? The decision still has to be his, but here's a prophetic word from a prophet. in the presence of four ladies that prophesy, in the presence of an apostolic team and an evangelist. Hello? Is that all right?
Yes.
Well, have a cup of tea then.